Good morning, church. Good morning to brothers and sisters and friends joining us, especially for the first, second, or third time. It's so glad to see you in the house of God today. To our international friends, welcome. As you're watching on this service, we thank you for joining us as well. Xin chào, mingalaba, and selamat siang. I promise I'll improve my vocabulary of this language beyond these greetings words, okay, from there. So today we are beginning our Better Together series, and today we have our best dress competition, right? And the theme is different but same. So right off the bat, I'm going to announce the winners, the top three life groups that are best dressed according to theme. Okay, if you manage to submit before 10 a.m., congratulations. If you submit after 10 a.m., I'm sorry, okay? So 10 a.m. is the cutoff. So I'm going to announce in no order of merit the first group, the first live group that has won the best dress competition is none other than Red Hue One. Where's Red Hue One? Congratulations to Red Hue One. I'm going to flash the photo on screen. And I'm going to share what they say of their photo, okay? They say, from toddlers to seniors, our batik designs reflect unique stories. Yet in Christ, we are united with the same unshakable love as Red Hue One. Wow! Amazing. Red Hue One, congratulations. And the second live group, is none other than Ultram 4. Where's Ultram 4? Ultram 4, you can flash the photo on screen. And this is what they say of their life group. Different personalities learning to journey together as one life group through our ups and downs as iron sharpens iron. May our efforts to stay united brings love, joy, and faith into our lives and those who join us. Heart with fire, hearts on fire. Okay. And the last group that's won, Bishan Marymount 8. Bishan Marymount 8. Let's give them a round of applause. So I'm thinking of Bible verse some more. It says, dressed in different sports attire, we stand as one, each on our own path, yet united in purpose. As a life group, we strive to encourage one another running this race of life with Jesus at our side. Inspired by Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, we press on with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Him, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I can preach a sermon on this already. Through every stride, every challenge, we choose to be each other's cheerleaders, lifting one another up until we reach the finish line together. Wow! Amazing! Let's give props for all these three life groups and all of us here who are so enterprising to participate in this together. At the end of the service, you can look for David Sean at the sound booth to collect your Birds of Paradise vouchers, okay? Okay, for some of our life groups, you put in a lot of effort, then you feel like, oh, I didn't win at this. Don't worry, okay? The consolation prize is you get to update your LG profile pic, okay? Every time we have a best dress competition, you can update your LG profile pic, refresh it, okay? Some of you, it's like 10 years never update already. So it's timely to update your LG profile pic. So begin that note and it's really true, right? Why we choose a team different but same? Because really, if you look at the photos just now and you look at your person at your left and right, you are really, really different from each other. Yet we are all marked by something that's similar. It's, in fact, maybe if we look across our personalities, our talents, our interests, we are marked by the grace of God. That in itself is probably the only similarity that we can find amongst us. And today we're going to talk about community. We are a church, Hope Singapore. We believe in community. We believe to grow in our faith, we need our community. It's essential that we gather in rows like this in a big corporate setting and also in circles in our life groups. So over time, sometimes our gathering can feel like a routine. And we sort of, it can become lost on us. Why do we gather? And, you know, we run this sermon series from time to time to revisit this whole idea of gathering. And we call this the Better Together series. We believe that hope is better together. And the first part of our series today, I'm going to address the question, why do we gather? Why do we gather? And next week, I hope to address the what and the how. What do we do as we gather? And how do we gather in a manner as what God has intended us to be? So are you ready? Let us dive into the why today. The title of my message today is called The Necessity of Gathering. The Necessity of Gathering. You know, in Singapore, we are all busy people. We are all very busy. In a first world country like us, sometimes time is more precious than money. Time is a precious commodity. And because many of us have many commitments on our plate, we choose how to spend our time carefully. For example, those who are working, work takes up loads of our time and it expends a lot of our energy. And it's natural for us to choose activities that we love and we enjoy during our off-work hours. And the question we have today is this: why in the midst of so many commitments should life group gatherings be a priority at all? And what is the value of gathering? Why do I give up, for example, more sleep, activities that we enjoy, time to hang out with other groups of friends, go to the gym, or even just chill at home? Why do we give up opportunities to do all this just for the sake of gathering? And as believers of Christ, our starting point is then look into the mind of Christ. What is His goal for us through gatherings? And today we'll look at a passage in the book of Ephesians. The book is actually a letter addressed to the church in Ephesus and the churches in the surrounding region. You know, Paul wrote this letter from the prison to inform the believers how to live out their faith. And if you read through the entire book of Ephesians, you find many practical handles on how to live out our faith. And the passage that we are looking at, that we are zooming into, is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. I'll give you some time to take down notes. And let me read the verses to you. Verse 11. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is a very interesting picture of what Paul is painting here. You know, in verse 11 to 12, Paul tells us that Christ gave Himself to the various offices of spiritual leadership. Now, this is commonly known in the Christianist language, known as the fivefold ministries. But basically, in Jesus, this, that these five offices of spiritual leadership is meant to equip the church, which is all of us, for works of service. And I want to pause here to unpack a moment so that we can understand this better. The purpose of spiritual leadership is to equip the church to serve one another. So it's a church. It's not just a few spiritual leaders serving the whole church. It's not just a few super anointed, super gifted leaders and pastors serving hundreds and thousands of people. That sounds exhausting. And if a church operates like this, it will not last beyond the legacy of the prime of the leader. And that's not very long. And we know that God calls His church to last from generation to generation. So spiritual leadership, as what Paul says, is for the equipping of the whole church. Say the word whole church, to serve one another. And it is for everyone to serve one another in the ways and giftings that God has given to us, all hands on deck. So the model of the church, as we step back and look at this, is how can we organize ourselves in a way that we can create the environment and the culture for us to be all equipped and given the opportunities to serve one another. That's why in our church, we truly believe that life groups are an essential part of our faith. Because besides our Sunday morning services like here, as we gather together for corporate worship and listen to a sermon, life group is the true expression of community in a church where it allows us to know others and be known by others. Beyond just hi and bye, we get into each other's lives. We truly know what they are going through. We journey with them in their ups and downs together. We encourage and learn from one another. And if we do this all together, and we do this well, where does that lead us? That's where it goes to verse 13. Verse 13 paints God's goal for the church. Let me read verse 13 together. Let's just read verse 13 together, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, from this passage, from this verse, I'm going to draw out two truths on the necessity of gathering and how it will move us towards becoming the church that God has in mind. Point number one, we need one another to know Christ deeper. We need one another to know Christ deeper. In verse 13, when Paul talks about the knowledge of the Son of God, he's not just talking about academic knowledge, book knowledge. You know, the common translation in Greek for knowledge is called gnosis. But the translation here in verse 13 is called epinosis. And the word that Paul uses here is almost literally translated into knowledge upon knowledge. So it's not just surface knowledge. It's not just knowing about a person, but it's knowing something exactly, completely with surety. It's knowing something true and true. So it's like comparing, for example, what I know about Han Han, right? Where's Han Han? Han Han is here, right? Right, seated at the front row. And my knowledge of Han Han maybe is at the gnosis level because I only see him, you know, a couple of times a month. But his wife, Ying San, knowledge of Han Han will be epigenosis level, right? And so when Paul says the knowledge of epigenosis in the Son of God, what he means is to know the person of Jesus with certainty and with surety. You know, in Singapore, we are knowledge hungry, naturally. You know, many people see church as a spiritual learning institution. So we tend to rely on good preaching or teaching to learn about God and to gain new perspectives and insights through sermons. It's a good thing, and we should keep growing in the knowledge of the Bible. And the good thing about the internet is that it has given us access to a lot of good teachings and sermons from gifted preachers all over the world. I don't know whether you ever have this experience where you chance upon like a very gifted teacher, you know, a sermon that spoke to you very personally, and you're like, wow, by this preacher. Then on your social media, maybe on your YouTube, you started following the preacher and you listen to him or her very intensively. Maybe on a daily basis, you listen. Yeah, I'm not too sure whether you get to this point. Maybe after a while, you start to, after listening to many sermons from this preacher, you more or less have a hang of like his or her preaching style and teaching style. You more or less know what is his focus, what is his area of expertise, what is his theology. And after a while, it can feel a bit stale. Then what do we do next? We switch, right? Then we just switch to another gifted preacher to follow. So don't worry, don't need to feel guilty. I switch many times or so. It's like fashion. It goes one full circle, okay, from there. And if our knowledge of Christ is purely delivered through teachings through one or a few preachers, the point is this: no matter how gifted the preacher and the teacher is, it will be inadequate. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this to relieve pressure for me as I'm speaking here. The pulpit ministry is important, and we take a very high view of preaching in our church. That's why I feel very, very burdened and stressed every time Pastor Tim asks me to stand in front of the pulpit to preach. But the truth is this: there really is a limit to what we can learn through sermons alone on the Sunday service. This is the truth. Even if you have heard many gifted teachers, no matter how gifted they are, there will come a point in time you will feel his teachings will be a bit stale and you want to switch. And today, because we live in an individualistic culture, you do you, as a belief that also faith can be private. You know, the people can grow our faith on our own without anyone. We just need to listen to teachings and know about the Bible. And community is just an option for people with high social needs. God's idea of how we can grow in our faith, however, is actually found in community. Nowhere in the Bible can you actually find anyone, when given a choice, right, that they choose to live out their faith individually. In fact, in many of the letters that the apostles wrote to the church, it's always addressed to the collective, to the entire spiritual family. And if people are not within that spiritual family, they will not hear the words of the apostles at all. So if you read, you know, the early letters, it's always addressed to the church. And you may argue maybe there's at most one exception, okay? Maybe the thief on the cross. For some of us who are familiar with the gospel story, the thief next to Jesus and he was crucified, you can see maybe he was alone. But even then, you can argue that he had community. Jesus was with him, okay, when he was crucified. So the question is this: why do we need a community? Point one, to truly know Christ and know him deeper. In the life group setting within our church, we help one another grow in the knowledge and understanding of the Bible when we study the word together. But also, we get to see Christ at work actively in each other's lives. Our knowledge of Christ increases over time as we see His work in each other's lives. Oftentimes, God uses our gatherings to widen our perspective of who He is. You know, over at our zonal leaders gathering, so within the zone leaders, we gather once a month. Pastor Tim will gather us together. As we gather once a month, we'll share our lives. And we also have this practice of affirming each other during birthdays. And we just celebrated CN's birthday in February, okay? And I only know a part of who CN is, right? CN is looking up to be nervous what I'm going to say about him. Well, don't worry. My affirmation of him was that he's actually very humble. The reason why I say so, because he takes on so many different roles and he doesn't think a lot about himself as he serves others. So then Kelly came along, my wife, to say that, yeah, I totally agree. He's not just humble. He's also courageous in taking on so many assignments and providing stability to the leadership team. And Christine, his wife, would also come in and say, he's not just courageous and humble, but he's also self-sacrificial as he would, you know, make very difficult decisions to respond to the call of God as they go beyond the comfort zone as a family. So it's like each of us have an impression of the character of CN, who CN is, based on how we see him and our interaction with him. And we come together as we share about CN and we affirm about him, our knowledge of his character increases. And this is the same when we gather in the name of Christ. You know, recently we had a Thursday morning ops meeting. As a full-time church staff, we gather once every 2 weeks on Thursday with the ops team. And during the ops team, because we are just warming up to each other, getting to know each other more, we're asked to share our salvation stories with one another. And I heard the story of Desmond Pang, you know, one of the very long timers in our church. If you see him, who he is, you may think he's just a prim and proper businessman, kind uncle. But he shared with us, once upon a time, he used to lead a very havoc lifestyle. He would have long hair, dye his hair, and he would have enjoy his time with discos, picking out girls, and things like this. And God has transformed him completely. You know, and I would never imagine like how God has transformed him until he shared the story of his past. So being plugged in a life group is a wonderful opportunity to see how Christ has transformed each of us. You may see the current version of this person. You may think, oh, this person, bad-tempered, very jialat, long, long way to go, work in progress, okay? Maybe 10 years away. This person is maybe 30 years away, you know? And you may judge this person is just very bad-tempered, and, you know, but you may not know actually how Christ has transformed him if you know about his past. And if you know that, you will see beyond just how this person is, but you will see who Christ is transforming him to become. And when we hear the transforming work of Christ in each other's lives and the diversity of how God works in so many different life circumstances that are so different, we are then reminded of God's infinite wisdom that he can work in so many ways, more than just my way or what I want. And you widen our perspective of him beyond our own personal experience. So, church, this is the point that I hope that you can consider, is that will you make it a personal objective in your life group, beyond just joining in, coming in to say hi, bye, to know the work that Christ has done and what he's doing in each other's lives. You know, when I was serving in a life group, one of the things that I like to do is to get everyone to plot a chart of their spiritual journey. Those trained in counseling may know this. It's a reflection exercise where one plots the ups and downs of their life journey in Christ. And after that, they share their peaks and valley moments. And I would also make it a point for everyone to share, even those with seemingly unspectacular stories. Many of us always feel like, oh, our story of coming to Christ is boring. Nothing spectacular. It's not like thunder and lightning. No, it's just very normal. Very slow burn. And because everybody thinks their stories is unspectacular, sometimes we refrain from sharing. But I want to say this, what is dull in your own eyes, what seems boring in your own eyes, might be exactly what someone needs to hear at the present moment. So whenever there's a new member joining the life group, we'll make it a point to be intentional to share our spiritual journey. Beyond just looking at our natural interests, share our faith journey with the person of how we ourselves come to know God. And when we do that to encourage one another, we ourselves become reminded of what God is also doing in our lives. Maybe this could be one of your regular standing items in your life group gatherings. Also, it's also important for us to have the habit of asking one another, what do you think God is doing in this season of your life? What do you think God is doing in this season of our life? Because we are seldom asked that, and when we are asked that, we give ourselves the opportunity to pause and reflect what God is doing in our season. And through our sharing, we can identify and encourage one another. You know, we need each other. We need each other to grow in our knowledge, our epigenosis of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't do that on our own. We need one another to help us grow in knowing God. If you have been with us for a while and you have been joining our Sunday church service but are yet to connect in the life group, we consider taking a small step today to do so. Even if you feel like a weekly commitment is not something you can, you know, commit to, we consider just seeing this as a trial. Joining a life group, maybe for a short span of 3 months, start at a frequency that's comfortable to you and give God a chance to open up your heart and your mind to see what he can reveal to you about himself through the community. And as you get to know different people, you hear how God has transformed and worked into them. You get to know Christ in ways that you may never imagine. So for those who wish to be connected to a life group, this is a call, an invitation. I want to give you this opportunity to respond by scanning the QR code on screen. And just fill up the connect card. And we help you connect to a life group that is nearest to you in terms of your profile, your life station, and where you stay. And I'm flashing this QR code on screen. And at the end of service, we'll keep this QR code on screen again. And you can scan and you can fill up the form. So the point is this. We need each other to know Christ deeper. And as we are plugged into our community, we grow in our knowledge of him. So if we do that, where does that take us? That brings me to the next point. Point number two. We serve each other to mature in our faith. We serve each other to mature in our faith. Let's go back to verse 12 and 13 again, and let me read this. To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you remember when we first pray to receive Jesus, and we say in our sinner's prayer, there's this very one important part of our prayer that we pray. And, you know, we do this every single week. So maybe I just invite all of us to say this together. Okay, let's say this together. What do we always pray when we come to this part? We say, be my Lord, be my Savior, help me to become the kind of person that you have created me to be. Right? Help me to become the kind of person that you have created me to be. So for many of us, the sinner's prayer is the start of our journey with God. And actually within that prayer is also the end goal of our faith. It says here in verse 13, after I reach unity in our faith and the full knowledge of Christ, we become mature, attaining to the full measure of Christ, full measure of Christ. So maturity is actually our goal as believers of Christ. Maturity is our goal as believers of Christ. The biblical Greek word for maturity is called telios. Telios. That means complete, not lacking anything. So it's like a chef. If some of us are interested in cooking, it's like you whip up a meal that you are truly, truly satisfied after putting it, your love, your heart, and soul into making the dish. And when the plate of food comes out, and you look at that dish and you say, perfecto. That's what telios means. Telios. Perfect, not lacking in anything. And the picture that Paul paints here is a process of spiritual growth that takes place as we serve one another in our community. As we give of ourselves to one another, God matures us through the process. And my wife, Kelly, she came to Christ when she was in junior college. And at the start, she felt this whole idea of life group is not for her. She didn't see the need to connect with people. And it was only until she went to university, she joined a life group, and she saw the entire community's love in action. You know, she until now, she still share with me from time to time how she saw, you know, how the entire community, they went the extra mile to bless the students during the exam peak season. They'll go the extra mile, bless the students with drinks, with food, and, you know, to really to love and serve the students. They'll take orders, what drinks you want, kopi o siu tai, Milo. They'll go back, they'll make the drinks, and they'll serve the students over there. And through, because of what they did, she saw the entire community in action. That allowed her to mature in her faith because she saw the magnitude of God's love that's at work through the community. Another story of a brother who also had a lot of pride issues. Okay, I won't name him. And he had issues with authority. And he learned humility when he stepped up, you know, to serve as a leader in a life group. Because God used that journey of him serving others as a life group to grow his character. And he learned to be other-centered instead of self-centered through that. And this whole process, as we serve one another in our community, God works through our weaknesses and our flaws. So, and that takes time. I know that takes time. But that's how we become teleos, mature and not lacking in anything, the kind of person that God is creating us to be. And the catch is that God uses His body, that is the church, to mature us. Unity of faith, service unto one another, has to take place when in close proximity, right? That makes sense, right? You can't have unity of faith and serving one another when you are far, far away. It has to take place when you're in close proximity. And Paul uses the word body a lot. If you read a lot of his writings to describe a church, he really, really likes to use the word body. He's interested in biology, okay? He always likened the church to a body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, he described the church as one body, many parts. And I believe it's because when we look at our own bodies, right, some of us may think it's a work of art. Okay, when we look at our own bodies, we may be amazed by how different they are and yet also how united they are at the same time in keeping us alive. So within that body implies close proximity, being close to one another. And it may sound nice, but some of us find that it may be a bit discomforting. Some of us sit on the fence when it comes to life groups. And in my observation as a pastoral leader, I want to, and also hearing from the ground, I want to share two common reasons I gather why some of us may feel hesitant to be connected to in your life group. And the first reason I want to share is this. It's the fear of misfit. A fear of misfit. It's very natural for us to like people who are like us, right? We like people who are like us, on the same wavelength with us, where we can hit off. There are people like that, you know, where you don't see them for many years. And when you come together, you just hit off right away. You don't even need to warm up to each other. And we enjoy that kind of friendship. There's nothing wrong with that. And most people in our natural circles, we come together through similar passions, through similar interests, likes and dislikes. Sometimes we have circle of friends that are more interesting and caring and maybe vibe in the same manner as us. And don't get me wrong, sometimes we prioritize them because we feel we enjoy their companionship. And I'm not saying we should like drop our friendship. In fact, actually, we should continue to invest in our friendship with people in other circles. That it could be people from other church, it could be in the marketplace where you work, it could be, you know, your friends, where you all continue the friendship beyond schooling days. But what I'm trying to address here is this, it's the issue of our hearts. What does it reveal to us, our values, based on the people that we want to associate with? And because God has called us into a spiritual family to love one another as a brother and sister, including those who are not like us, that is the value that binds us together and what God is calling us to do. And sometimes we can easily let our perceived differences divide us. So what Paul says here is very counterintuitive. He's saying that only when we put aside our natural inclination, we serve one another, be united in our faith, then we can truly mature in Him. And now, I know the reality can be quite hard. Maybe some of us right now, you have visited a life group before. You're looking at maybe a couple of life groups and you look at the people. Wow, this group of people, they seem so different from me. And their personalities, their interests, and their outlook of life, it seems to be different from me. And you observe that after meeting them like one or two times, and you feel like, hey, this group, I don't think I can click very well with them. And in your heart, you anticipate, right? It's going to be quite hard for you to open yourself up into them. Some of us may feel uncomfortable to take the next step, to know them better and let them know you. And I want to encourage you to take a small step forward. It's true that trust has to be earned in a relationship. So I'm not asking or telling you that, you know, on your first meeting, you have to open everything up. But as we take small steps and we give it time ourselves to get to know others, right? Maybe we will find similarities in our journey in life. Maybe we will find similarities in our struggles. And we will find that, hey, actually there's much to learn from each other as we open up our lives. And I want to share a testimony right here. The testimony of a brother called Kai Jin, KJ, right? He's from Boon Keng 3. And Kai Jin is a new graduate, right? He just graduated last year. He came over to the adults congregation. And as you know, it's not easy for a new graduate to integrate well straight away into a life group because you are going to a new environment. You hardly know anyone. At the same time, he's juggling with all different forms of transition into an adult. But I want you to hear his reflection. Kai Jin from Boon Keng 3. This is what he says. When I first joined my life group, I was eager to know the people at a personal level. This was because back in tertiary days, I went through many transitions which made time with the same group of LG members limited. There were only so much I could do before we go different ways. I believe that knowing people personally was important in helping me to understand their struggles and how I could pray for them. So after joining this life group, I went on arranging one-to-one meeting with the life group members to get to know them better. As a result, I feel more connected to them beyond the usual life group gatherings. Meeting one-on-one took a lot of initiative from my end, but I'm willing to do it as our friendship is based in God and it's important for me to show genuine care and concern for them by knowing them better. Thank you, Kai Jin, for setting an example of being proactive in getting to know people. And now you hear the story of a new grad. I want to share with you also a reflection of an older adult. Her name is Yi Yo from Boon Keng 1. And this is what she shared. Ever since the splitting of my life group into smaller groups, I was placed in a group where all were younger than me. Some of them had just graduated. At first, I had my worries. I wonder whether I could truly connect with them. And I worry about the communication gap between generations, whether they truly understand and grow spiritually when I facilitate our LG discussions, and whether I can grasp their trends and slangs. But despite these thoughts, I chose to be present. I chose to be involved, to hang out with them, listen to their struggles, understand their perspective, and work alongside in their journey with God. And over time, we became closer. I'm so grateful for how they embraced me, both in my strengths and my weaknesses. They welcomed me as I am. And in that space, I experienced the beauty of godly community. Recently, I moved into another life group where people were of a closer age range. And you may think that it would be easier and faster to click. But I quickly realized that wasn't necessarily the case. The group had a different dynamic, different life stages, different commitments. Yet, through this, God revealed to me, regardless of age, background, or season of life, we are all of the same spirit. We all desire to grow in our walk with God, and we all want to do life with Him and with one another. So instead of focusing on the differences, I choose to embrace the people God has placed in my life. I want to love them, know them, journey with them, and I truly believe that whatever God places me, it is for a reason to build one another up through both the ups and downs. As the body of Christ, we are not just individuals, we are a family walking together in faith. And thank you, Iyo and Kai Jin, for encouraging us. Let's give them an applause for them to write this, share their reflection with them. And let's consider then how we can be proactive in this, just as what Iyo and KJ share with us. And I'm going to put this burden not for those who are finding it difficult, but putting this burden on some of us who are consistently in the life group. That you may know people in your midst who have difficulty or are struggling to connect in your group. So my ask is this, is that will you be proactive in reaching out to them? You know, maybe over the next 2 weeks, reach out to them personally for a meal, invite them to join the life group. And if you find out their needs, help them prayerfully and practically if possible. So for some of us on the other side who may have this fear that,
No, it may be quite difficult to fit into a life group. Can I encourage you that if someone from the life group reaches out to you, will you be open to just join them and give yourselves a bit more time to truly know the people there? A lot of our differences that we see are stuck because we don't know each other so well. And a lot of times after we get to know each other and we get into their lives, we can see that sometimes the most beautiful friendship can be found in the most unexpected places. And the point is this, as we are plugged into our life groups, our community, we grow in maturity when we put aside our difference and we serve one another. God will reveal to us the width and the magnitude of His love as we serve our brothers and sisters. And here's the second reason why some of us may be hesitant to join a life group. The second reason is past disappointments. Past disappointments. I want to speak to, you know, a group of people here. The thing is this, is that being close to one another, of course, it may sound like a nice idea like this, but sometimes because we are close to one another, we also see each other's flaws more clearly. As we are close to one another, we bear ourselves a bit more and we can see each other's flaws. Married couples will know what I'm talking about, okay? The closer we get together, the more flaws sometimes we do see. And because our church is not a church of perfect people, our church is made up of people who are imperfect. They are a work in progress. And we are bound to, at some point, rub each other in the wrong way at different times. And you could have met people who might have hurt you. You might have shared something vulnerable with people. And maybe you were expecting encouragement. Maybe you face rebuke. Maybe when you were expecting love, you feel judged in that moment. And maybe there was a season that you were hoping that someone reached out to you and you didn't feel as cared for as you would like. And because of that, you are disappointed with the life group. Or maybe some of us, you may have a bad conflict with someone and it was unresolved and it becomes very awkward for you to step into a life group, you know, again, because the relationship is strained as a result of that. And after going through what you go through, it can be quite hard for you to go back to community again. You may be in a life group, maybe in person, in your name, but at the same time, you find that it's quite hard and it's not really high on priority risk because you find that, you know, there are other things that you can do to re-energize yourself, to refresh yourself, and your heart is disconnected. And I was rewriting this and I was thinking, because it's very difficult to say this, but I want to say this as well to some of us here who have gone through that experience. It's very difficult to say because I've heard of some of you who came to share with me personally, you know, your past experience with the life group where you feel disappointed and hurt. And I'm usually at a loss of words because I don't want to invalidate your feeling. I don't want to invalidate what you have gone through in your journey. Maybe the hurt and the disappointment that you experience is really profound. It left a mark in you and you find it very difficult to forget about that. And somehow you choose to, it's just very hard to let go of what you have experienced. But at the same time, when I hear this, I feel sad for you. I feel sad not because, just because of the experience that you have been through on that. I feel sad because I feel that you really miss out on God so much because of your past experience, because of what you have experienced in the past. You have let that define the community that God has intended it to be. And you have chosen to let go of the gift of community that God has given us as a result of that. And the thing is this, is that there is so much that we can touch of God in the realm of God through His body if only we can open up our minds to Him again. I don't know the exact circumstances of your situation right now. And maybe the path to reconciliation is there. Maybe the path to reconciliation cannot be considered at the moment. I'm not asking you to reconcile right away. But my invitation to you is this, is that you seek God and don't throw away the whole idea of community that God has in store for us because of your past experience. Don't define don't define the whole idea of community because of the hurts and the disappointment that you have experienced in the past. And I hope you can consider this as your personal response first, to put your trust in God's idea of community and not let it define you. And to take small steps of faith to allow Him to heal you even through His body. If you're not ready to even go back to your life group, you can even consider joining another life group, maybe as a start, as a step of faith back into Him. And you, if you can respond later, but my call and my ask is this, will you open up your heart? Will you open up your heart and give yourself the opportunity to step back into a community, into our spiritual family, and trust that God, in His grace and His ability to redeem, to heal you of your past hurts and disappointment through His body over there. So right now, I'll close with a confession. When I started my journey as a believer of Christ, I told myself this, that I only want to give my Sunday mornings to God. You know, Sunday mornings is all I can offer. Sunday morning, going for service to God. This is the only amount of time that I have to offer. And I didn't see the need at all then to be connected to a life group. You know, I'm a person with pretty low social needs. I'm really very okay to have lunch by myself in my schooling days. When people come alongside and say, can I join you for lunch? My heart usually drops. I'm disappointed. I'm really very okay to just eat alone. Just leave me alone. Don't talk to me. You know, don't ask me how am I. Questions that I find very hard to answer. I have very, very low social needs, okay? This is who I am. And I will come to service during worship. I will plan strategically. I will come during worship. You know why? Because when people are worshiping, their eyes are closed. Okay, I'll come in, sit at the last row during worship. No, I'm not saying people who are sitting at the last row. I'm just saying that was me, okay? So please don't feel personal. Yeah, I will sit in the last row during worship when people are praising God, worshiping God. And I will leave during altar call when people's eyes are also closed because they are praying. I will come in and I'll leave when people's eyes are closed so that I won't be discovered. I was really, really good in my stealth mode. I did that for 1.5 years. I want to qualify that this happened in another church because our Connectors ministry will never let that happen over here. Okay, so Connectors, don't worry. This happened in another church. And just to let you know that, you know, this lasted for 1.5 years until someone sat next to me. And so this person from another church sat next to me. One of the service, she was curious enough to ask me where I was from. Okay, maybe she might have noticed me for a while. And she was curious enough to finally ask me that where I was from. And that started the conversation where she eventually got to know me and invited me to, you know, the life group there. And I started joining a group, but my commitment was still infrequent, to say the least. I was really, really irregular. It was a time where I just graduated and there were a lot of things that, you know, that I want to spend my time. I want to spend time doing well in my career. I want to spend time doing well in my work. I also had other interests to pursue. So Friday nights, that was the life group gatherings then were very precious to me. And, you know, there were some times that I just want to take a break and I would just give a miss from there. And in the first year of my work, I faced a burnout. There were days where I did not sleep to catch up on my work. And the longest record is I didn't sleep for 72 hours straight to complete a project on that. And naturally, my health took a toll. I kept falling sick. And by then, I've skipped my life group for almost close to 6 months, as I calculated back then. About 6 months, I skipped my life group completely. And one day, I received a text from my life group leader then. She told me that she hadn't seen me for a while. That's an understatement. And she wanted to check in, like, how I was doing, whether spiritually I was okay. And she really hoped to see me in the next life group gathering. And of course, in my pride, I didn't share what I was going through. I was facing a burnout, but I didn't share all this. I just feel very paiseh because she texted me a few times and she asked me to reconnect back. So, okay, I'll join. I'll make time next Friday to join back the life group. And when she invited me for that life group gathering, the entire life group celebrated my coming like it was my 100-year-old birthday. It celebrated that coming. They prepared a sumptuous feast. The life group is full of foodies, okay? When I meant feast, it includes steamed crabs, They bought crabs and they steamed the crabs. Okay, I'm not saying this so that you put the expectation on your life group to do so. But the heart of it, I hope you can catch it, okay? They went to buy satay, chicken wings, you know, what they can find, you know, all over Singapore. I remember a life group member that stays in Toa Payoh, she went all the way to Tampines to buy some Teochew delicacies to come back to that. They made me feel their love truly. And, you know, I was won over completely. I'm not a foodie, but I was won over by their gesture. You know, I started to join them more and more. And as I realized that they do this from time to time, me and my stomach look forward to joining them more often, and I gain some weight in the progress. But you know, as our lives become more interconnected, my heart for the people inside the life group grew as well. There was one time, remember, when I saw a brother. He was going through struggles in his life. And during worship, he knelt down. He was just praying. And when I saw him praying, I just felt an overwhelming sense of compassion for the brother there. I started tearing as I was praying for him. And I tell you what, that's not normal, because I know myself. I don't think about others a lot. I think about myself a lot more. And God moved in me supernaturally, such that He took an introvert like me, someone with very, very low social needs. My wife can testify that. If you don't believe, you can ask her. Right. One who is very self-centered. And I tell you, I think about myself a lot more. And He expanded my heart. He expanded the width of my heart and the depth of my heart through the life group that He has given me, with a diversity of people of different personalities and different interests. And I testify on stage this morning to let you know that He can do the same to you as well. God can do the same to you. You see, God has given us the gift of community through His church. And we need each other to grow, to know Christ deeper, and to mature in our faith. So this morning, will you take the step out and step forward into our spiritual family, into knowing our brothers and sisters more, and trust that God can make something beautiful through your small steps of faith. Right now, I want to invite us to put away our things. Let's prepare to respond to God through worship. Let's invite us to rise on our feet and prepare our hearts to respond to God this moment. And just invite us to lift up our hands and just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord, that You have given us a gift of community. And today, as we prepare our hearts to respond to You, O Lord, will You open up our eyes to look into Your mind of what You have in store for us through the community, Lord, of the glorious future that You have. And Lord, will You open up our hearts to You, Lord Father, as we take small steps of faith to step into this community, Lord Father, as we are reminded on why we gather here together, that You will seal in us the value of gathering, and You will help us to be faithful in this. We commit to You in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
If You're calling me, I will answer. If You're bidding me to come, I will come. And if You're leading me into deeper waters, may I not refuse. Jesus, we come. Jesus, I come.
have a glimpse of your heart and that we taste of your goodness, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. Right now, at this moment, I just want to invite all eyes to be closed, all heads to be bowed. I want to invite the first group of people to respond. Some among us, you are not yet connected to a life group because of the fear of misfit, that you feel that you may not be able to fit in well. I want to invite you to respond at this stage, and I want to encourage you that as you take a small step of faith in your personal response to God, to step into the spiritual family that He has given us. I want to let you know, as you do so, Lord, the Lord will reward you. You'll watch Him move through His body to widen your perspective for who He is. And your knowledge of Him will not just be just book knowledge, but your knowledge of Him will grow more and more as you become more interconnected. So if you feel that person is you, if you're not yet connected to grow, I want to encourage you to respond to Him. Just not going to ask you to lift your hands, but will you put your hands on your heart? I'm going to pray for you. Put your hands on your heart. I'm going to pray for you. Father, right now, I just pray for my brothers and sisters, even as they commit in their heart, Lord Father, to take that step forward, Lord Father, to get to know this spiritual family that you have given us. Lord, as they do so, Lord Father, will you assure them? Will you assure them, Lord, that you are in control? Will you assure them that as they take that step forward to open up themselves, to get to know more one another, more through this spiritual family, Lord, that you let them know that as they do so, as they take that step of faith, that you are with them, that you'll widen their perspective of who you are in their lives, Lord Father. And the rewards will be unending, Lord. So Lord, I commit my brothers and sisters to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A second group of people that I want to pray for are some of us who have encountered past disappointments and hurts in the life group. And because of that, you have sort of disconnect yourself from this whole idea of life group, and you let that define your experience. I'm going to ask the Lord to bring healing upon your hearts today, and that He's going to turn this around, that your experience in the spiritual family will not just be marked by the negative experiences that you have in your past, but it will be marked by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. His redeeming power through His body that will heal you and move you forward. So if that person is you, I'm going to invite all of us to keep our eyes closed, our heads bowed. I'm so not going to ask you to lift your hands. I'm going to ask you to put your hands on your heart. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, you know my brothers and sisters over here. Lord, that what they have gone through, you know them beyond what I know, Lord Father. But ask the Holy Spirit, will you bring healing and reconciliation in their hearts, first and foremost with you, Lord Father. Lord, even as they take that step of faith forward, Lord Father, I pray, Lord Father, that as they take that step forward to reconnect back into your spiritual family, that you will heal them, you'll redeem their experience through your body, Lord Father. As they step forward, they'll find life, true life, and life to the fullest in this community, and this will mark their experience in this spiritual family, because this is your body and you are the head of this body. So I commit my brothers and sisters to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the final group of people who I want to speak to, some of us here who are yet to say yes to Jesus, some of us here who are yet to know Christ personally, and you hear a sermon like this, it's like we are opening up, you know, our issues and struggles as a spiritual family here and there. And now I want to let you know, we are sharing this and we are comfortable to share this because we believe in the authenticity as a spiritual family. We believe in bearing our hearts to one another as a spiritual family. And we might be very different, but we are all marked by the same thing. That is, all of us are marked by the grace of God in our lives. And because of that, we can experience Him through this spiritual family. And today, if you find your hearts, you have been attending our Sunday service for a while, you're sort of exploring the faith, and you find in your hearts that, hey, this is something that I want to look forward to. And I want to let you know that it's God that's moving in your heart, that's prompting in your heart, and you feel ready to say yes to Him as a small step of faith in this journey to step into this spiritual family. I want to invite you to say this prayer with Him, to invite Him to your life, to begin your relationship with Him. So I want to invite any one of us who are in debt, if you're experiencing that, to for all of us to keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed and say this prayer with me as believers of Christ. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you.
For dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Right now.
Right now.
I invite you.
I invite you.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
Help me to become.
The kind of person.
The kind of person.
I was created to be.
I was created to be.
I pray all this.
I pray all this.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we give God praise? Amen. Amen. Amen.